Brock Purdy's wild ride continued Thursday night in Seattle, a place that has not been kind to the 49ers through the years. There was a lot of energy at the Seahawks home stadium, and that home team needed a victory to bolster their own playoff hopes. But the 49ers came in, and they conquered the West as their t-shirts read. And they partied it up. And what about Brock Purdy, the 49ers' rookie quarterback? This was his most impressive performance yet. He was in pain, but he inflicted more pain on the Seahawks defense with a couple of touchdown passes to George Kittle in the 49ers' 21-13 victory. Carlos Ramirez and I discuss how the 49ers might be better off with Purdy at quarterback. And Jennifer Lee Chan describes the scene in the victorious 49ers locker room. 49ers Talk is coming at you right now.
Welcome to another edition of 49ers Talk on NBCSportsBayArea.com. Introducing your host, Matt Mayoko.
Yes, this is 49ers Talk brought to you by Big O Tires, and the 49ers clinched the West. 21-13 victory over the Seattle Seahawks on Thursday night. It probably could have been a lot more decisive as far as the score goes. But Carlos, I can assure you, nobody with the 49ers as they boarded their plane to go back to the Bay Area, nobody was complaining.
It's funny you use the word convincing, Matt, because I think the scoreboard doesn't reflect what the game was. And let me start with this question. Is this the most convincing win the 49ers have had in Seattle ever?
Ever? Certainly in the past decade, because it was only their second win in the past decade. And of course, the other one being that game at the end of the 2019 season where they also clinched the NFC West. And that's the big one, right? I mean, the 49ers clinched the NFC West with their seventh consecutive victory. Brock Purdy responsible for the last three of those in the seven consecutive wins. 49ers improved to 10-4. The Seahawks fall to 7-7. It was convincing, no question about it. And as convincing as it was, though, they had to hold on for dear life at the end. And it took a very veteran type of play from Brock Purdy, running for the first down, stretching the ball out as he was going down to stay in bounds, keep the clock moving. And then it's kind of funny, Christian McCaffrey, who did a lot of heavy lifting on Thursday, carried the ball a lot, you know, a lot of receptions, a lot of carries, over 100 yards. He referred to Jordan Mason as Mariano Rivera, the closer coming in, and of course the 55-yard run that sealed it. So I mean, there's so much to talk about from this game, but the number one thing that we need to talk about is Brock Purdy, because he had the oblique injury, the ribs. It seemed to be after the fact, we're learning more that it was a lot more touch and go than even we suspected. I thought all along he was going to play, but he did not throw a pass since the game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers until a walkthrough in their hotel ballroom on Thursday before they got to the stadium. Then he threw it around a little bit, but it was definitely one of those situations where they had to manage it. He had to manage it. And Kyle Shanahan had to manage it too, by taking some stuff out of the game plan that he just felt like he wouldn't be putting Brock Purdy in a position to succeed. So he absolutely gutted his way through this game. Brock Purdy, 17 of 26, 217 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions, and the touchdown passes to George Kittle, both of them. And both of them were kind of remarkable plays, not necessarily plays you would expect from a rookie quarterback who did not have any snaps, any reps at all in practice this week.
Yeah, I think Thursday Night Football's game, Matt, to match it up with what you just said, which I agree absolutely with, was Kyle Shanahan's best game calling of the season because of the circumstance. On the road, short week, third string quarterback who's hurt. The touchdown of Kittle, that double screen fake, and then finding Kittle on the seam, that's a once in a season play. I mean, now everyone's got that on tape. So you may be able to, at some point, you know, pull it out again. I don't see it happening, but to pull that off on that scenario was brilliant, The third and 15 play that he converted, Brock Purdy did, on a play that Shanahan drew up for Ray McCloud with a double, the screen pass. It didn't look like a screen pass, but it was more of a slant with two receivers out wide blocking for Ray McCloud. Again, just a magnificent game plan and game call by Kyle Shanahan. Do you agree that it's the best game plan and game call by Kyle this season?
I would have to say so because of all the factors working against
no
the 49ers this week. No Debo, no time to prepare, really. Yeah. You know, no full speed practice. So, yeah, from that case, I would say so. Yeah, the two play calls to Kittle, you know, the first one's called Hollywood because he has to do some acting on that one. And in the past, he would go down on the ground and try to sneak through there unseen. On this one, you know, as you mentioned, you know, he faked to the left to Ray McCloud, faked to the right to McCaffrey, and he had to kind of show he had to be nimble like a ballet dancer, you know, as he faked those. He did a couple pirouettes and then found George Kittle right down the middle. And it goes for a 28-yard touchdown pass.
Yep.
And then the other one was probably the most significant instance of Brock Purdy not being an average rookie. That was his fourth read when he found Kittle. The defense, the play was basically designed for Ayuk or McCaffrey. The defense went with McCaffrey. Purdy worked his way all across the field, which obviously is something you can't do unless you have very good pass protection as well. But he worked his way all across the field to the fourth read, George Kittle. George Kittle was wide open, and then Kittle takes it the rest of the way, 54-yard touchdown. That gave the 49ers a 21-3 lead just a minute into the third quarter. And yes, Seattle came back, made a game of it. But at that point, I was writing my story. To me, that the game was over at that point. And then, of course, as I mentioned, that third and one play where it was a bootleg, McCaffrey was the read. You know, he's going to throw it to him, but he thought he could run for it.
Yep.
And he thought about diving, he said, but he also thought about the ribs. You know, he thought about the oblique because that's how he injured it the first time in that game against Tampa Bay. So he went ahead with the feet first slide, but he had to make sure when his knee touched at the beginning of that slide that the ball was over the 35-yard line. And he did. I mean, I tell you, I've been cautioning people to pump the brakes on Brock Purdy.
Not anymore?
I don't think so. I think we can do away with the parking brake and just start riding downhill. I don't know, man. The kid is something else.
He's
tough. He's competitive. He's gutsy. He's got, you know, as I talked about on the pregame show, the comp for him was Nick Mullins. Still, the comp was Nick Mullins.
Yeah.
That's the fact. That's what Kyle Shanahan said they drafted him.
Yeah.
But he has a much higher ceiling than Nick Mullins because of greater arm strength, greater mobility, I think better pocket presence. And also, I mean, this, you know, just the not that Nick Mullins wasn't tough, but this guy is like
next level
tough. And also he's got a really good supporting cast that he doesn't have to do this by himself. And you can tell also by those play calls that we're talking about, Kyle Shanahan has tons of confidence in this kid because he's earned it. And I think I'm on the bandwagon. He's made a believer of me.
Listen, sturdy Purdy. I want to go with the definition because I don't want to mess up the dictionary, Matt. I want to see if you agree. I looked it up. I know what it means, but I wanted to know if there's a different meaning or more meaning. So I went straight to the dictionary. Sturdy.
Yep. Yeah.
Firmly built or constituted. Check.
Yeah.
Sound in design or execution. Check.
Yeah.
marked by or reflecting physical strength or vigor. Check. Sturdy Purdy is for real. Three games is not a fluke. Three games in the NFL is not a joke.
No.
On the road, short week in Seattle, with no time to prep whatsoever, with no time to throw a football, and he's a quarterback. It's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
To go up and do that, I'm going to go one step ahead. I think the offense through three games and without Debo for Thursday Night Football's game has looked better with Purdy than it ever looked with Jimmy Garoppolo in 2022. He is a better athlete.
Yep.
He is more precise, and Jimmy's precise. He's not making throws. He knows when to.
He kind of made one today, or he made one Thursday night, and Quandre Diggs dropped it.
Yeah,
but he's a rookie. Of course, he's going to make those.
Yeah, that's the point. That's my point. He's 22, so if he makes them, or the few he's made haven't cost the 49ers. He's got goldfish memory when he makes mistakes. And on the podium, Matt, he sounds like a 30-year-old veteran. He sounds like he gave props today, or Thursday, I should say, to Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo for taking the team where it is, instead of him taking all the credit, which he could have done that.
Yeah, no, it's impressive, and it's not like he's given cliche answers either.
No,
you know, it's not like Bull Durham. He's giving good answers to things. No, it's impressive. And, you know, at the end of the postgame show, the segment there, you asked about the overreaction. A week ago, I wouldn't even have thought of this, but, and again, we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit, but there's a scenario now where I'm not going to say likely scenario, but maybe it is likely. I mean, Brock Purdy has shown more because he's had a greater opportunity to show more than Trey Lance has shown.
Well, I think Trey's had the opportunity. I don't think what he has is the experience. What we're seeing from Brock Purdy, he's had three games. Brock has. Trey has four. He got hurt. But I think what we're seeing, Matt, is he is so far ahead from a developmental standpoint because of those 46 straight starts at Iowa State. You can see the difference. Now, the question becomes, do the 49ers commit long-term going forward with Purdy and Trey? Or what do they do now? I mean, it's a good problem to have.
Yeah, definitely a good problem to have. I don't know how they do this. I mean, you know, they got Brock Purdy for the end of this season and two more years.
Mm-hmm.
And they have Trey Lance for two more years after this. And at the end of next year, they have to determine whether they pick up the fifth year option on him to have him for a fifth year. I don't know. Who knows what they do, but here's the thing. I mean, this offense looks like the offense with Brock Purdy. It looks like a Kyle Shanahan offense with Brock Purdy, where the times, and it's limited, the limited times that Trey Lance has been out there, it's looked almost kind of gimmicky, right? With all the quarterback runs. And when the 49ers needed 1 yard, they used Brock Purdy's mobility to help them get that yard. It wasn't a designed run, but that was definitely an option on that play. And Brock Purdy came through.
I think two things are happening in front of our eyes, Matt. I think Brock Purdy is making Jimmy Garoppolo expendable I'm talking about the future. Brock Purdy has made the choice for John Lynch. You don't need Jimmy Garoppolo here anymore. Plus, if he continues to show the control and dominance of the offense that he's exhibited so far, he's got a skill set that's more transferable and teachable to Trey Lance. He doesn't have Jimmy's experience, which is a big thing, and he can learn from. But in terms of calling the offense and blending it with what Brock can do is more similar than what you want to do with Trey than with Jimmy because of Brock's mobility. So I think Jimmy is now out of the picture for the future if Brock keeps this play going forward. Would you agree?
I think regardless, Carlos. I think at this point, regardless. I mean, the reason that they made that move to go up to number three overall to get Trey Lance, ultimately to get Trey Lance, was because the company line was that they didn't have faith that Jimmy Garoppolo could stay healthy. And since then, he's gotten injured twice.
Yeah, so but a couple of weeks ago, there was stories out there, Matt, that the 49ers and Jimmy were considering remarry in 2023.
I don't know about considering. I would say no one was closing the door on anything.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And publicly, I'm saying the door's closed. That's what I'm saying right now. The door's shut.
No, I don't see, of course, I didn't see a scenario last year with Jimmy Garoppolo coming back, but this is about Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
And the thing about Brock Purdy is that the 49ers lost their starting quarterback. They lost their next quarterback. And right now they're with their number three quarterback. I need to show you what my daughter, mm-hmm. who lives on the East Coast, and she's probably, you know, she's a college student there and, mm-hmm. Probably should be in bed instead of watching Thursday Night Football.
She's not,
she doesn't follow sports, too closely, but she says, she texted me, she says, okay. I'm low key confused how they're slaying while on their third quarterback. And I thought that is perfect.
Welcome to
they
the world.
Are slaying. And I think everybody is kind of low key confused at how not only their third quarterback, but a seventh round draft pick, the last pick in the draft, the, you know, a guy that wasn't even thought of as, I mean, he was thought of as a long shot to even make the 53-man roster. He was going to be behind Trey Lance and Nate Sudfeld. And now here he is, the starting quarterback of the 49ers. And we could all make arguments that the 49ers right now are better off with him at quarterback than any of their other options.
Absolutely. And what makes this story even more special is because I mean, we all know Brady was 199, and I'm not comparing Purdy to Brady. I'm just saying, even though Brady was a low-end draft pick, he looks like a quarterback, 6'4", tall, long arms. You know, even though he's not an elite athlete per se, he looks like a quarterback. Brock's 6'1", 220. I mean, he looks like a quarterback, but a small one. He isn't the Drew Brees, you know, Mark Brunell type.
If he was 6'3", 6'4", he would have been a first or second round draft pick.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He might not even gone to Iowa State if he's 6'4", or whatever.
True. Yeah.
Let's go to the defense, Matt, because after you left 49ers postgame live, Dante Whitner said, the proclamation, the statement, perhaps the overreaction, I don't know, of the year. Maybe in the history of 49ers postgame live, Matt. Dante Whitner said on live television, Dante Whitner.
Yes.
That the 2022 San Francisco 49ers defense is the best defense in franchise history.
Oh, I think that's an overreaction. I think of those teams in the 80s, the mid 80s, the late 80s. Those are some good teams. And I'm surprised Dante would say that because he was on a pretty good defense himself.
So what he said was he based it on the current state of the NFL, how it favors the offense, more games, more teams, a deeper talent of pool talent, and how they're mobile, interchangeable. The injuries they've sustained, how they've been able to come back from them. Again, he said it's the best defense over his own 2012 Super Bowl contending team. That was the statement of the year, Matt Maiocco.
No, that's pretty impressive. And who's going to argue with Dante? Maybe some of his teammates from 2012 will argue with him. Yeah. But boy, I tell you what, until they win a Super Bowl, you know, the 49ers have a history, 5 Lombardi trophies. You don't put yourself up there on that wall as best offense, best defense, best blank until you win a Super Bowl. So, hey, we're going to carry on with 49ers talk when we come back after this word from Big O Tires. I'm joined by Jennifer Lee Chan, and we'll further discuss this 49ers victory, clinching the NFC West with a 21-13 victory over the Seattle Seahawks.
End this year on a high note at Big O Tires year-end sale. Get great deals on name brand tires for cars, pickups, and SUVs. Plus, save on auto care services with financing options available on credit approval. Visit BigOTires.com for all year-end sale offers. Ends January 8th.
Life is uncertain. It's okay to feel stressed, anxious, worried, or frustrated. CalHope can help. Access CalHope's free and secure mental health resources. Call 833-317-4673 or live chat at calhope.org.
All right, we're back on 49ers Talk, and now I'm joined by Jennifer Lee Chan. And so, Jennifer, you were in the 49ers locker room after this game. You soaked it up. Describe the scene.
It was exuberant. It was very happy. And I think because Seattle is such a tough place to win, there was also a little sense of relief just because you just don't know. I mean, you before the game started, you could see the way the Seahawks were playing, how they had that tough game against Carolina. Were they going to be that same way again? Were they going to let the 49ers get the run game going? They absolutely did. We saw that. But I think just that little bit of relief, just because you just never know. But I mean, from the time they got on the field, I was down there when they ran onto the field, there was a lot of energy and they were ready to go.
Yeah. I remember back in 2019, was it December 29th, 2019, mm-hmm. 49ers clinched the West with a victory here. It's the Dre Greenlaw play, of course, that everybody remembers. And our former colleague, Joe Staley, I mean, he was in tears after that game and meant so much to him. And they went through so many tough times here in this stadium. It wasn't the same today, but it was similar, wasn't it?
I mean, as far as a
guy like Eric Armstead, you know, right. He said he's been in this league 8 years. He's come up here. What's it been? He's been up here, I guess, 8 times. Mm-hmm. And he hadn't experienced that kind of joy other than 2019. Mm-hmm. And here it is, his second win up here in Seattle. And it's the second time the 49ers are putting on the victorious t-shirts in the locker room.
It's crazy. But this place is so tough to win in. It is so loud out there, even though there were, I think, more 49ers fans. There was a lot more red than there has been in the past. Yes, the fan base travels really well, but I think even more so here in Seattle for this game than we've seen in Seattle in the past. I mean, we've seen them in a lot of different places, but this is a tough place to get tickets to. And this rivalry has been so strong. I think it's harder for Niners fans to get tickets here. And even though there was that presence in the stadium, those Seahawks fans are still really loud. I mean, Brock Purdy still had to go to a silent count. There were times Jimmy Ward told me that one play he missed was because he couldn't hear the call. So even when they were on defense, and I did hear a couple defense chants by Niners fans, but it's a tough place to play.
Yeah. I don't know where to begin with. We just talked, well, let's talk a little bit more about Purdy later, but you know, first off, the Dre play, you know, Dre Greenlaw made the tackle at the, whatever it was, half yard line or a mm-hmm. couple inch line back in 2019 on Jacob Hollister on that fourth down play to seal it. And I thought his play right before halftime kind of sealed this victory. At least I felt that way at the time, because the Seahawks were going down to try to cut into the 49ers lead. And then the pass to Travis Homer, Jimmy Ward wraps him up, and then Dre Greenlaw comes in and just provides a wallop that shakes the ball free. Mm-hmm. Charvarius Ward picks it up, runs 40 yards. And then a couple of plays later, Christian McCaffrey takes it in for the touchdown. So another splendid defensive performance.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Not quite sure you heard what Dante Whitner said on the post game show, best 49ers yes. defense ever. I don't know about that, but man, what a performance.
Really good. Really yeah. good.
And for a defense that, you know, doesn't have the marquee guys on the defensive line other than Nick Bosa and I guess Eric Armstead, they just come at you in waves. And it's just, I think every time I see this 49ers defense play and the defensive line in particular, I go back to Chris Kocurek and how he coaches those guys up and how he gets the most out of those guys. And, you know, they're on the field 2 or 3 snaps at a time. They're rotating off, except for Armstead and Bosa. Mm-hmm. You know, they're out there right. the most, but he really does a fantastic job of getting these guys motivated. Mm-hmm. He works them hard from the first day of the offseason program to the final day of practice for the mm-hmm. season. And he just ingrains good practice habits, good work habits into them. And it shows out there on the field.
And considering that they are down interior defensive linemen, Javon Kinlaw, I know he hasn't played a lot, but going into the season, they had planned to have him out there. Hassan Ridgeway, which just went on IR, and Kevin Givens, who has been a huge contributor in there. I know he's not as dominant as Eric Armstead, but those are guys that have had a lot of reps in there. They keep the other guys fresh. So when you're down three starting, guys who have started and at least played a lot of reps, that makes a big difference. Yeah. And the defensive line still is productive.
Yeah. Kevin Givens is a really good player. Mm-hmm. And so he's out. They didn't put him on IR. As you mentioned, they put Hassan Ridgeway on IR, and then they brought up Akeem Spence from the practice squad. Mm-hmm. And so he's on the 53-man roster. I think this all but closes the door on Hassan Ridgeway's season mm-hmm. because they have two spots left of players who are on injured reserve who can come back. And it sure sounds like one spot is going to be going to Javon Kinlaw
right.
on Monday, because mm-hmm. the plan is for him to start practicing on Monday. Maybe he'd be available to face the Washington Commanders, but I know they're going to really be slow mm-hmm. and judicious with how they bring him back. They just want him ready for the postseason now. Right. Now it's all about positioning for the postseason. Mm-hmm. So the one spot that I think they're holding to bring the next person back would be Elijah Mitchell.
Right.
One thing that I wonder if they regret now is Curtis Robinson. He started the season on the 53-man roster. He went on IR. He's a backup linebacker who's been inactive for several weeks in a row. And they use one of those spots on him. Mm-hmm. And that kind of seems like they didn't need to do that. So that could be something that, maybe they regret. I would think they do, but we'll also see. Maybe they got some word on Ridgeway with the pec mm-hmm. injury that maybe he wasn't going to be available in the postseason. But, they got some injuries. The injuries are kind of piling up. And right now they're still holding out hope, I guess, or keeping that door open for Jimmy Garoppolo
right.
to return. But the way Brock Purdy's playing, they don't need Jimmy Garoppolo.
And then why push him? Like if he's on, it's 6-7 weeks with him coming back to practice, not playing in the game.
Yeah.
So why risk him playing and re-injuring himself or having some sort of setback when you've got a good thing going with Brock Purdy?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's clear to me at this point, if Garoppolo is able to come back, he's taking Josh Johnson's role. He's not taking Brock Purdy's role.
Right.
I mean, Brock, this was so freaking impressive what Brock Purdy did. And you can just tell that, Kyle Shanahan really has a lot of faith in this guy. Mm-hmm. And this guy has earned all that faith. And well, here's what Kyle Shanahan had to say about where Brock Purdy ranks as far as the amount of poise he sees from a rookie, because he's never had anybody quite like this. So here's what Kyle Shanahan had to say after the 49ers victory over Seattle.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely the most poised rookie I've ever had. He's been like that since he's gotten here. From what I hear about him in college, I think he was very similar, just starting as a freshman. And I mean, he's been great. And he was poised all week. Even him being unsure of whether he'd be able to go or not, I think that was uneasy for him because he didn't know what to expect till he got in the game. Under circumstances, we didn't have any other options or choices. We're going to see how long he could last when we were ready to go with Josh. But he got comfortable and got better as the game went. And it was pretty unbelievable.
So he said that the most poised quarterback that he's ever seen. And, every time the 49ers bring in a quarterback, I look at it like, okay, is this guy the best, rookie I've ever seen? And I remember being impressed by, I think C.J. Beathard had a pretty good rookie camp, mm-hmm. and thinking like, oh, he's a pretty good player.
Yeah.
I think Trey Lance, showed some skills. I remember Alex Smith being pretty rough. I remember Colin Kaepernick as a rookie kind of being kind of rough in training camp. We didn't see too much of Brock Purdy in training camp just because he rarely got any snaps. But the team saw it, and they were super impressed. And in fact, here's another thing I heard, is if the 49ers, if it had only been like a one, you know, they were only going to play one more season for the rest of football, that Brock Purdy might have been the starter to open the season. You know, but with Trey Lance, his upside is so great. They had to work him and try to start building him up to that point where he could be the franchise quarterback. Now, man, I don't know what they do for the future, but why talk about the future when this performance Thursday night in Seattle was so impressive?
One thing that I got a sense of in the locker room is that while I think outside the building, everybody's like, oh, we need to have a ton of respect now for Brock Purdy and, oh, look at what he's doing. There's no surprise in the locker room. They have seen this from day one from him. And Trent Williams told me, he's like, we're not surprised. This is what we've seen. We've seen him run the scout team. We've seen him go against the number one defense since the start. He has been poised. I asked Trent Williams, like, does he seem like he's got an old soul? Is, you know, what is it about him? And he's like, that's just the way he's been. He's been mature. He's, you know, really been dialed in on preparing. Everything that he does 100%. He's very thorough. And another one, Jimmy Ward, said there, he has so much respect for him because he practices the way he plays. And a lot of players don't do that. He is definitely one of them. And for a defensive guy to notice that, I think it says a lot.
Here's another thing I like about Brock Purdy is that he was hurting. And a lot of guys, when they're hurting, they want the world to know they're hurting. You know, they grab at things or they grimace or they, you know, a lot of guys kind of, they like the drama. They want people to know that, hey, I'm not 100%. And it gives them like some sort of cop out. I got the sense of Brock Purdy bent over backwards, or at least as far as he could bend without hurting his legs any further. I got the sense that he made a point to try to not show that he was making an excuse with anything.
Right.
Because he, it was a lot more touch and go whether he was going to be playing in this game Thursday night than anybody let on. And Kyle Shanahan after the game said, you know, he did not throw any passes, all this stuff, but Brock Purdy kind of downplayed everything while also admitting that, yes, he was in a lot of discomfort, but he didn't want to show people he was in discomfort.
Well, that was the same thing, you know, he has said since the injury, even after the game, he downplayed it. And again, when he spoke to us on Tuesday, it did not sound like he was going to sit out of the game. I mean, I know Kyle Shanahan said he's questionable and there was that whole side, but when you, when Brock Purdy spoke, it did not seem like he, for all intents and purposes, it sounded like he was going to play the way he spoke.
And it sounded also after the game, it sounded like he was going to start, you know, because he hadn't really tested it. He was going to play. They did not bring up Jacob Eason from the practice squad. So they were going with Brock Purdy and Josh Johnson.
Right.
But also it sounded like Purdy wasn't sure once he started playing, if he could continue playing. So he was going to give it a shot. But it wasn't a foregone conclusion that he's going to be able to last much longer. And just speaking more of the, I don't know, the way Purdy handles himself, he was asked a question about, you know, himself. And I think, heck, I might've been the one who asked the question. It was something along the lines of like, this is crazy, right? That here, this team is 7-game winning streak. He's been the quarterback now for 3 of those games. And 4 days ago, he's, you know, building a 35-0 lead on Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. And then 4 days later, he's a starting quarterback in his second start and clinching the division title. So what does he do? He deflects the credit to Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance. Here's what he had to say.
It's special and everything, but man, honestly, I'm just like another component. I'm another piece to this team in terms of a guy coming in, just doing what he's asked of, you know. I'm the quarterback. I have to make decisions. I trust in how the coaches teach me throughout the week. I just try to get the ball out to the guys on time. And honestly, man, I don't think, you know, Jimmy and Trey get enough credit for what they've done. You know, I'm just now coming on the scene where these guys have been here, you know, throughout the off season for Trey, and then Jimmy coming in and leading these guys and winning, you know. And so for me to come in, and I just want to continue what they got rolling. So a big credit to Jimmy and Trey for what they've done, especially in the quarterback room, for the team. And I'm just trying to do my part in terms of where we're at now in the season. So definitely not, you know, all praise to Brock and what Brock's done. Those guys, they deserve all the credit. So I appreciate those guys.
So you understand now the kind of guy we're talking about here.
Yes.
That he's not a rookie, or he's not your typical rookie.
Not at all. He's very mature. He is. And maybe it's because he's got so much experience as a starter. He is 100% a team player.
Yeah.
And it's all about giving credit to everybody else who has helped him get to where he is, to winning, you know, to clinching the division. And it's mature. It's
genuine too. It's not like the phony give credit that is undeserved to other people. No. You can tell he means it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's been impressive. Mm-hmm. Like, I think he's been, for a young man who turns 23 here on December 27th, I think it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, he has pushed all the right buttons on and off the field for the 49ers. And we're going to push a button. We're going to hear from our sponsor before we wrap up this episode of 49ers Talk.
Looking for a bit of adventure this summer? Look no further than a new fuel-efficient Toyota Hybrid. As the industry leader, Toyota offers more hybrid models than any other brand, so you can live life to the fullest while getting incredible MPG. Go farther than ever before this season in the most fuel-efficient way possible, and save big at the pump all summer long in a brand new Toyota Hybrid. It all starts at Toyota's national sales event. Toyota, let's go places.
Your winning career starts at Graton Resort and Casino. Join a great team today with amazing health benefits, working in a fun and fast-paced environment. Now hiring table game dealers, chefs, beverage servers, housekeeping, and more. Full-time and part-time positions are available. Come for the excitement. Stay for the great pay, flexible scheduling, and 401k matching. Apply now and start your winning career today. Visit GratonResortCasino.com for details.
Whenever you need a recharge from the gym, training, a race, or everyday life, Fit Aid Energy has you covered. Now in 4 electric flavors. New Fit Aid Energy's 200 milligrams of clean caffeine from green tea helps fight your fitness fatigue and contains our original post-workout recovery blend. Visit FitAidEnergy.com to save up to 30%. Hear from different players and alumni on the 49ers You've Got Mail podcast, the team's only player-focused podcast. Each episode, team reporter Lindsay Polaris and players discuss the upcoming game week and answer fan-submitted questions about football, life, and everything in between. And we do this thing at NBCSportsBayArea.com, 49ers Overreactions by Toyota. And what would be the overreactions? I guess that get a spot in Canton ready for Brock Purdy. But I don't want to come off to wiseacre there. But we talked about this a little bit. I talked a little bit about this with Carlos. I never would have thought this, but Brock Purdy could be playing himself into a spot where you think of him not as a long-term backup. Mm-hmm. You think of him as a long-term starter.
Now, if there were two passes that were nearly interceptions, right? So the last game against Tampa Bay, interception negated by a penalty.
Yeah.
And then today, that one should have been a pick, but dropped. If those two plays happen and they're picks, is it the same conversation we're having right now?
Yeah, probably not. Yeah, I don't know. But you know what? At the same time, Jimmy Garoppolo had those too.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Trey Lance had interceptions in his brief time. And Jimmy Garoppolo threw more interceptions than he should have through his first X number of years. Right. And in this year, those were kind of cut down. But he's also, a 7-year pro. Brock Purdy hasn't even, you know, he's started two games and basically started three games. That was pretty much a full game against Miami. So, you know, you also cut him a little bit of slack because he's learning the speed of the NFL game. Mm-hmm. And it sure seems to me like he's a quick study.
There is that. Now I'm just playing devil's advocate. Absolutely. Here.
That's, I like this.
Jimmy Garoppolo was dealing with a shoulder injury and a thumb injury, which can have an influence on whether you throw an interception or not, I would think.
Well, that was only for the final four games of last season.
Right. But I mean, you're looking at, you know, his body of work. Mm-hmm. Part of that was dealing with different injuries. Mm-hmm. So,
well, I mean, there's so much, you know, last week on the overreactions by Toyota, someone asked like this, Kyle Shanahan have more confidence in, or actually it wasn't, it's, these are statements. They're not questions. Kyle Shanahan has more confidence in Brock Purdy than he did in with Jimmy Garoppolo in the short sample size with Trey Lance. And I had a hard time saying that that's an overreaction because I just kind of feel like some of the stuff that he's done with Brock Purdy quarterback shows that he has tremendous confidence, including a play that they didn't rep at full speed, that double pump fake.
Mm-hmm. That was
and,
a great play.
Yes. And then, you know, that the ability for him to work through the four reads in, through his progression, which is so impressive. Mm-hmm. I just get the sense that Kyle Shanahan really, really likes Brock Purdy, like really likes him. Likes everything about him. And also that 3rd-and-1 play.
Yes.
That's a play that Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't run for.
And especially think considering how much pain he probably was in with his rib and oblique injury, that play just on its own is very impressive.
Yeah. What else kind of stood out? I mean, you predicted a big game for George Kittle. Yes. George Kittle came through mm-hmm. with a big game.
Just like he did the last time he was here in Seattle. They didn't win that game, but he had a huge game.
And what I like about Christian McCaffrey's game is that this pretty much assures him. But how many yards did he have? 108 yards. Mm-hmm. This pretty much assures that he will be the leading rusher for the 49ers this season. So that means 6 different players will be the team's leading rusher in the 6 seasons that Kyle Shanahan was the head or has been the head coach.
It's crazy.
So let's think about this. I'm going to try to go through it here. Okay. It was Carlos Hyde, mm-hmm. Matt Breida,
yes,
Raheem Mostert, mm-hmm. Jeff Wilson Jr., mm-hmm. Elijah Mitchell, uh-huh. and now Christian McCaffrey.
Good job.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I don't usually do well anytime I have to use my brain. So that was, I'm proud. Anything else that kind of pops out at you from this game? Ray McLeod's starting to bust mm-hmm. some returns. It looks like he had a good game. He had a really good game.
Spoke to him in the locker room afterwards, and I was interested to find out what his take was on what Kyle Shanahan said about him this past week when, you know, Kyle Shanahan said, Ray takes it very personally. If those runs that are made for Debo, he doesn't get those same plays. Mm. So I asked him, like, what's your take on this? He's like, yeah, I'll go up and talk to him. He was a running back before he became a wide receiver. So he is very comfortable with the ball in his hands, wants to run the ball more. And yes, takes offense when Kyle Shanahan doesn't give him the same plays that he has designed for Debo to him as well.
I feel bad for DeAndre Lenore, man. He had a pick six.
That was
great. At return, he played his college ball at Oregon. Should have had the pick six.
Yes.
But you know what? Nick Bosa took the blame on that. He said that he usually does a better job of rolling off mm-hmm. the quarterback, but he wasn't sure if Geno Smith had actually thrown the ball or not. Uh-huh. And then if you notice, the next time he was very
so gentle,
very gentle.
I actually tweeted that he laid him down like a baby going to a nap.
Yes, it was very, it was the most, it was a very courteous sacking of the quarterback.
I spoke to Trent Williams about it afterwards, though, and Trent Williams he's like, come on. It's like, I mean, his opinion from an offensive side, because I wanted to get his perspective, because you know a defensive uh-huh. guy is going to say, no, that call was ridiculous. Even Trent Williams like, that's how you're supposed to tackle. That is how, I know, he did land with full weight on uh-huh. Geno Smith, which is not right, but you think about how guys are taught to tackle And that's what he did, wrapped up. And then, yes, his the majority of his body went on top, but Trent Williams gave him a pass on that one.
Yeah. So I don't know if Bosa was being just very diplomatic, but he took the blame. He said that he usually does a better job of that. And he said it was a good call. And by the rule book, I guess it is.
Yes.
But then Bosa did come back later and got his 15 and a half sack.
His gentle sack.
His gentle sack. And that that ties his career or his career best, which he set last year. So still three more games to play.
I told you he was going to have about 20 this year.
You did.
Yeah.
You
did. Well, you didn't believe me.
Well, four and a half more. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see. Big game coming up. 49ers win here week 15, improved to 10-4. They're one game, or now half a game, I guess, behind the Minnesota Vikings for the number two seed. The Vikings play Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. Vikings have Indianapolis, the New York Giants, the Green Bay Packers, and the Chicago Bears remaining on their schedule. The 49ers, of course, have Washington, Las Vegas, and Arizona. Mm-hmm. The number two seed is still very much in play. And that is huge because it guarantees the 49ers, as long as they keep winning, guarantees them two home games.
Yes.
And then if the Eagles stumble, the 49ers could conceivably not conceive. Well, if the 49ers keep winning and the Eagles stumble, the NFC Championship game would be in Levi's Stadium. So that number two seed becomes kind of a big deal. As the 49ers, you know, the end of the season is in sight. We know one thing, they're definitely going to the playoffs.
Yes.
And I just sense that there is a lot of optimism from all the veterans on the team that the young guy at quarterback is going to be a positive and not a guy that they have to compensate for.
Yeah, they don't have to carry the entire weight of the team and the games for him. He is going to carry his share of the weight and complimentary football. Yep. Like they always say, if they all do their job on all three phases of the game, it'll take them far.
Yeah, absolutely. And boy, as I told Carlos, I've been pumping the brakes on Brock Purdy hype and all that, but coming up here and playing as composed as he did in Seattle in this environment, when he wasn't 100%, not even close to it. Man, count me a believer in Brock Purdy.
I'll count you in.